Those of you joining us online, thank you for that as well, as we're blessed to be together to worship the Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're thankful to be able to worship at this time. My name's Chris Townsend. I'm the interim pastor here. I'm thankful to be with you. If you are a guest here this morning and would like to fill out a card, they're in the pew for you. You can drop them in the offering box after worship service if you'd like to do that. That's in the back of the church. We have a lot going on this morning, being the 16th anniversary of Harbor of Joy, as well as celebrating the 4th of July weekend, and many of you wore patriotic colors, so thank you for doing that if you were able to do that. There's a lot of information in the bulletin, and I'll let you read that. Just don't do it during the sermon. I appreciate that. But we also ask you, if you can, stay afterwards. We have plenty of treats for you, a time of gathering and fellowship. Oh, by the way, if you were here July, not here in this building, as part of the worshiping community, July 4, 2010, raise your hand. Look around. You have quite a few of you. Thank you very much for your faithfulness to God and blessing His church, Harbor of Joy, as it continues this day, and we recognize and celebrate that. We're blessed because there are some of these founding members here, and they're going to share some wisdom with us before we really get into worship. So I'd like to invite those individuals up to do their sharing at this time. You know who you are and what order you're doing it in. So come on up.
I don't know about order.
Oh, we're just starting.
You want me to start? Okay, I'll start. There were a lot of moving parts to the process that became the LCMC, Harbor of Joy Lutheran Church. My husband and I were one of the first three couples who gathered around a dining room table to discuss the idea of a new church congregation in order to remain faithful to the inerrant word of God. That sounds pretty heavy, and indeed it was. We didn't know if we could or even should venture into the actions and activities of beginning in a new place. We were very unsure about what steps to take and if anyone at all would join us. We didn't really know how to proceed. And of course, we had to wait for the vote to take place to even know if we would need to begin elsewhere. We learned that day of the vote that there were many people who were excited to remain in God's true word. It is with a very grateful heart that I am here in this place to worship with all of you. Some of you who were here that very first afternoon as we gathered in the Milford Community Center building, and some who have joined this congregation over the years. I am reminded again of my very favorite song that says, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." God is truly good, and no matter where we go from here, I believe in the goodness of God.
We had made our decision that we were going to leave First Lutheran when they had the bishop was here for an informational meeting at First Lutheran, and I listened, and finally I said, "Could I ask a question?" And the bishop said, "Yes." I said, "Well, what will we do if we have a gay minister and a partner, and sex is involved? How are you going to justify that?" And he said, "Well, we're creating a blessing for that." And Pastor Chris said that they have created a blessing for that. So we knew we were going to leave we did, just didn't know where we were going to go. And then after the vote, and these people were out there handing out brochures, we knew where we were going to go. And we were so thankful, and we just felt it was God's will, because we moved into a temporary quarters, and this place became available again. And I just feel that God had that in mind for us. So thank you.
My husband and I were really excited about joining a new church. We had been going to First Lutheran for a little bit, but we didn't. And we live, you know, in Pelican Ridge. So it was the 4th of July when we took off, and we were so excited, and we were coming through Milford, going to the community center. And I might or I might not have been speeding, but I got stopped. And I thought, Wilfred, just keep your mouth shut. And the cop came to the window and said, you're speeding. Oh, really? But where are you going? I said, we're going to church. And it's a very first Sunday of our church. Okay. And I thought, I didn't say this, if you can believe this. Don't you have bigger fish to fry on the 4th of July than two old people going to church?
So before we took the vote, there was all this talk about, you know, the homosexual pastors and that sort of thing, and I certainly wasn't really in favor of that. But when it came to when they inserted in their own Bible that they wanted, or they put in their universal salvation, I thought, I just don't think I can live with that. So I went, talked to the church office, and I said, what do I got to do? Because nobody was doing anything about a vote. And I got some papers, and I went around, and I got people to sign so that we would have a vote. And, of course, then we had the vote and everything else that went down. But I just remember, and I don't remember if it was the same day, but I was driving away from the church and going down Highway 86, and it hit me. Good grief, Jeff, what got into you to even do all that stuff? And I just thought, well, the Holy Spirit had to, you know, and I've always thought ever since then that, you know, if God gives you a job to do, He'll also give you the strength to see it through. So, that's it for me. I've forgotten so much stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The Holy Spirit. That's what gave us the strength to do what we had to do. And that, the story began, as we know, before that vote that Jeff got instigated. And we were prepared, and I'm so thankful. Pastor Tim, you know, he had told us, choose in the sermon this day who you will serve. And I was prepared, because in that First Lutheran Church, I was reading through the Bible and going through Bible studies. And so when Pastor Tim asked Steve and I and Jeff to stand after the vote and hand out those brochures, that if they were seeking a new church, that we had an opportunity for them the very next Sunday. And after the vote, I remember, I was so sad for so many people who I felt were deceived. And it was very heartbreaking for me, and I really wanted to just run home and think about that and be sorry. But that Holy Spirit took charge of me and said, you are going to stand here in the name of Christ and hand out those brochures. And that was a strength that I went on. And I was listening to Tony Perkins this morning, and he said, the greatest danger that we face in the church, the body of true believers, the church is not a building, it's the body of true believers, those who have had a conversion experience, and they the word of God is living and real and true. And he said, for the church, the greatest crisis we are in, the lack of moral courage to do what is right. And with the Holy Spirit in us, we can do this. The battle belongs to the Lord.
After attending our last service at First Lutheran, a group of us had a meeting at our house to try to decide what to do next. Nancy and I, Pastor Tim and Bev, Becky and Jerry Rowe, sat at our dining room table and talked about the possibility of joining another church and other options. After praying and talking, we decided to go for it and start a new church of faithful Bible believers with Tim Knoppe as our pastor. The Holy Spirit immediately removed our doubts and fears, and everyone at the meeting felt a weight lifted and joy and peace flow over them. And here we are today.
Very good, Steve. No, I just thought I'd bring up, I was like the, I got to get closer, huh? Sorry. I remember we were had established the church, and we were doing pretty well out at, and we had moved then out to Dan Bombs, and had a pretty nice group. And I got to be I got elected on the council, and then ended up being president, like the third one. Like this is about 1914 or 2014, and we were kind of thinking we had put together a pretty good amount of money for starting a new building or doing something like that. And so as on the council, we decided to look for a possibility. Well, we went to the city council because they had torn the lumber yard down east of the main street, and we thought maybe they would give us some land and we could build a church there. So we went and visited with them, and they basically told us, no, you guys need to go back to First Lutheran anyway. And anyhow, then we went and talked to the people of the Wisconsin Senate that had this building. This was in the spring of, I think, 14, but I'm not sure. And they said they were doing okay, that they would let us have a funeral here or do some of the kind of thing, but they didn't really want to work with us. And that we could use the building some. Well, this was April, May, somewhere in there. So we just decided we'd set back. We prayed about it at our meetings and decided we'd just wait and see what happened. And July came around, and the people that owned Wisconsin Senate called Pastor Tim and said, we will sell you this building for what we paid for. And it's been just a phenomenal situation to help us continue on. And it just fit. Thanks. So anyway, that's some of the memories that I have from it. And it's been it's been really good to be a part of.
Well, thank you, Jack, for wrapping that up, for Steve and Nancy sharing, for Becky sharing as well, and Jeff and Ron. We're always grateful when people share memories, but we're here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite the praise team to come forward as you stand, and I offer a prayer for us as we start worship. So if you could please stand. God, this is a happy day for us, a happy day that we're free in Christ, and we're grateful for that. Continue to bless our freedom to worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
The greatest day in history.
The greatest day in history. Death has beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day.
What a glorious day!
And oh, what a glorious day! What a glorious way that you have saved me! And oh, what a glorious day! What a glorious day!
Tis of Thee was written by Samuel Smith, 1831, and it was considered to be the national anthem of our country before the Star Spangled Banner was written and adopted in 1931. My country, tis of thee.
Father's thy land of the pilgrims.
Congregation may be seated. At this time, we have some special music as well as followed up by a special message as we continue in our time together. Thank you, praise team. Barbara and Julie.
God of our Father, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty of a starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies. Grateful songs before the throne arise. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for patriot's dream that sings beyond the years. Thine alabaster city gleams undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Thank you, Julie. Pastor heard that I taught history at community college nearby in Minnesota West in Iowa Lakes, and he asked me to give a little bit of an insight of our Christian immigrants and the Declaration of Independence, and it is such a pleasure for me to do so. Probably one of the neatest things, I was able to travel to Philadelphia, travel to Washington, travel to Boston, and go to all those places. And I recommend, if you haven't done so, it is very inspiring to see where it all started. And in 1620, a group of courageous people, the Pilgrims, settled in Massachusetts, and then another group of separatists came with to come and settle in order to live a free life and to be able to worship freely. And many more came as time went on. The colonies grew, and the morality seemed to wane. The preachers were worried about the people's salvation. Many circuit preacher riders riding up on horses up and down the colonies, they were telling the word of God. And also, somehow, a Methodist evangelist who was a preacher in England, believe it or not, George Whitfield, he came to the country in 1739, and he actually came seven times to preach to the people. And it is said that over 50,000 people were created or were converted to Christianity. And it's called the Great Awakening. That was the first one, from 1739 to 1770. And Ben Franklin became really good friends with George Whitefield. And we had the honor to go to the movie with the Garrels, and it was called The Great Awakening in the movie theaters. And if you can watch this movie, it is very wonderful because it talks about the revival. It talks about the friendship that Ben Franklin had with George Whitefield in that time. And it is also said that the revival created ideas of democracy and freedom. And that was a huge reason. And it started, and it was even close to the time of the Declaration of Independence. Great Britain bullied America, and so they were tired of this. And over 50 men came to, it was called Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia, and they went, it was called the First Continental Congress in 1774, and all the colonies were represented. And Tom Jefferson, he was the writer, the creator of the Declaration of Independence, and he spent 3 weeks composing the Declaration of Independence. Imagine in a little room without air conditioning, taking time to put that declaration together. The goal was to list 27 complaints against England. It declared a complete break from England and the king, and it was written to rally the people, the troops, and our foreign allies that maybe they would help us. The new country would begin, and that was the hope. And it was signed by 54 Christian and members of the Congress. And the king didn't hear about this declaration until quite a bit later, several months later. But the war started, and it lasted 8 years, and it was a challenge, and it was amazing that our little country could rally together, but the help of France and other countries too. According to history and historians, this book I got, and it's so wonderful, it's called The Faith of the American Founding Fathers. And it gives information on were the Christians that were part of founding our country. And according to this, there were over 200 founding fathers. And they all were members of churches, and they were all related to Christianity, these churches. There were a few deists, which were believers in God and not in Jesus at the time. And after the war, there were 5 Lutherans that were signing the Declaration of Independence. I thought that was interesting for us. I would like to share some of the words of the Founding Fathers. And the first one is George Washington, the father of our country. And his picture is up. And he's the first president, the leader of the Continental Congress, and signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he believed that God, through Jesus Christ, will lead the country and make it a good country. Those are some of his words in a prayer. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Thomas Jefferson next. Many think that he was not a real believer, but this is what he said. He was our third president and author of the Declaration of Independence. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we will prove ourselves a people mindful in favor of what thy will do. Bless our land, our honorable ministry, and sound learning and pure manners, which I thought was really a neat prayer. Then John Adams, he is our second president, and he was the also a diplomat, and he signed the Declaration of Independence. And he said, "No, we have no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." So these are actual words from the founders. Next is Benjamin Franklin, and he was the oldest delegate to the Continental Congress, the first postmaster. He helped get France into the war to help us, and he also was there at the Treaty of Paris at the end of the Revolutionary War. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see this, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall ground without his takes its notice, It is probable an emperor can rise without, not rise without its aid. So in other words, he was a friend of the great missionary, George Whitefield. The next one is Alexander Hamilton, and he was our first Secretary of the Treasury. He wrote the Federalist Papers, but he sadly died in a duel with Aaron Burr. He said, "I now offer you the outline of the plan that I've suggested. The Christian nation shall rise. We support the Christian religion. We support the United States." Then John Jay, he is the next one of the founding fathers. First Supreme Court Justice, Treaty of Paris, he helped write that. And he said, "God's will be done. To him I resign, in him I confide. Do the like, and any philosophy applicable to this occasion is delusive. Away with it." Then the last one is our fourth president, James Madison. He was a founder of the Constitution, and that to me is a very important part of it. So the Constitution was written in 1789, 10 Bill of Rights, but the first one was, "Government cannot establish a state religion, but government cannot stop people from practicing their freedom of religion." And I was just talking to Julia, and she had listened to a sermon by, I think, Robert Jeffers. And Robert Jeffers talked about the fall of Christianity and the problems in our country and the morality and things that have taken place in the last 70 years or so. But this I wanted to say, the Supreme Court has pushed religion out of the schools. In 1947, no more Pledge of Allegiance. In 1962, no prayer in school. 1980, no Ten Commandments would be posted. So we as a church need to be a part of the continuing sharing of Christianity in many ways that we do this. Psalm 33:12 said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord." And I thank you for listening, and I hope that you, in the back, I bought a bunch of stickers for everybody to take. And they celebrate the country, and it says Harbor of Joy celebrates. So I hope you all take one. They're back. Buy the cupcakes in the back. And also over here is some of the memorabilia that I have, patriotic, a Patriot's Bible, picture of George and George Washington, and it's a real old antique flag of the country. I was one of the members, the first members of this church, and Jim and I were married at the cycle country. So God bless us and God bless America. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Barbara. We're going to continue worship, and because you've been sitting a while and we do aerobics here at Harbor of Joy, would you please stand? A little Christian aerobics here. We have our brief order of confession that we'll share, and now this is very much a Christian Lutheran tradition for us, so we continue in worship in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go to the next slide, please, and then the next one. Thank you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in sin. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you bow your heads in a moment of prayer? God, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you give us, the blessings of our opportunity to come before you seeking for forgiveness for the wrongs that we have done. God, in our thoughts, in our deeds, we ask forgiveness for those inadequacies, those wrongs that we've committed. We thank you for the forgiveness that you provide us and the freedom that that is for us each and every day. And I offer this prayer through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The congregation may be seated at this time as I share our focus text for today. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Hear God's word. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of God. I'd like to invite the children to come forward that are present here at this time. I have a message for you, and I have some gifts too, which is always a hook, hopefully. But come on up. You can just sit on the ground up here, if you would, please. Give them a minute. They have longer to go than you do. You've been getting out in the sun? Water? Is the water still cold? Not really? What's the water temperature? Oh, you don't know. Okay. Come on up. Come on. Just come up and sit down right here. Anything below 75 is cold for me. I'm from Arizona, so I don't really know. Hi, guys. Thank you guys for being here today, for being with your families as well. Do you guys know anything about freedom? Thoughts? Words? Association? What's freedom mean? Anybody? Do you know about the word free? Yeah? What's free? When you free somebody, that's good. Then they have freedom. That's good. Sometimes when you hear free, it's just like, well, somebody's going to give me something, and if he's given it to me, it's free. So that's what people focus on. But freedom we have in Jesus Christ. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are free in him, and then we get to live freely forever. Not just here on this earth, but in heaven in eternity forever. And that's a cool thing about being a Christian. We get to live forever. And some of your friends may or may not be Christians, but if they are, you get to see them in heaven, and that'll be so cool. And you get to see past relatives that maybe they've died and now they're in heaven as well. So we all get together and celebrate at that time. But we're here and now, and we're free in Christ here and now. And what you're probably doing this weekend or have been doing is having fun, right? Yeah? Y'all been going in the water? Don't answer. Is it cold? Is the water cold or warm? Cold, warm. So it's a mixed bag, right? All right. We all aren't on the same page. But you get to go into the water. You're free to go into the water and have fun. Make sure somebody's always watching you when you go in the water. Oh, is it still a rule that you have to wait 30 minutes after you eat to go swimming? No? It was a rule when I was growing up. That was a long time ago. They always made me wait. That was no fun. I like it that you have freedom just to jump in after you have a hot dog. You can just jump in the water, right, and have fun. But remember, you're free in Christ. You believe in Jesus, and you're blessed by him. Okay? Let me offer a prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you for these children and their families. We thank you for the fun that they can have and the freedom that they can have here in America, but more importantly, free in you. So God, we ask you to bless and keep them always. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Y'all can take one of whatever you want to take. Don't forget the kids in the back, especially the little ones, okay? This might take a little while because there's a lot to choose from. Okay, it's a grab and go. Oh, you got your ball, so you're good. You got it? Okay, you're good. Frisbee, don't throw it in the church. That's the only thing I ask. Okay, you got it. All right, you're welcome. Thank you for saying thank you. I appreciate that. Well, God is good, and he blesses us in a variety of ways. He blesses us with young people in our midst as they come for vacation time with families, and we're grateful for that. My message today is about freedom. You see it on the screen. I'm not going to do as long as a message as I normally would do. Some of you are going, oh, praise the Lord right now. But you heard Barbara share about the founding fathers and the beginning, in a sense, of the good old USA. But those men were trying to resolve something 250 years ago. They were trying to resolve something about freedom. For believers in Jesus Christ, we believe freedom was resolved 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross. Not only going to the cross, but going into the grave. Not only going into the grave, but 3 days later rising from the grave, and then eventually ascending into heaven. And freedom was won for all of mankind who calls upon him as our Lord and Savior. But again, what is freedom? Some people believe that freedom is the ability to come and go and say whatever you want to. That's real freedom. Let's go to Scripture, though. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, we had Adam and Eve. Boy, did they have freedom. They had freedom to do whatever, almost whatever they wanted to do. They had freedom and dominion over all that God had created. And they were truly blessed. In a sense, they could go anywhere they wanted to go, almost do anything they wanted to do. They could have built a treehouse if they wanted to. They could have petted the animals God had created. They could have laid out a picnic by the lake. I don't know if there was a lake. There must have been. They could have laid out a picnic by the lake and just enjoyed a long leisure weekend. But, well, most of you know the rest of the story. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Basically, the only thing he told them not to do. Parents, so what did they do? They did exactly what God told them not to do. They ate from it. They were tempted by Satan, and they ate from the tree. And as a result of their decision, sin and death entered humanity, entered the human race at that time. But what I want us to see on this 4th of July weekend is the country celebrates its 250 years of freedom, is that freedom, in its most basic form, started in the Garden of Eden, started in the book of Genesis. Freedom, in its most basic form, is choice. And they had choice, Adam and Eve did. Every morning, they could wake up and they had the freedom to choose to obey God or disobey God. For the most part, they obeyed God. And maybe that's a reflection of us. For the most part, we obey God. But Adam and Eve fell. They were tempted and fell. Some people focus more on the freedom of this world than being free in Christ. And freedom, as some people realize in this world, often, for some, becomes about being self-centered, about being self-righteous, about being sometimes even self-destructive because of the choices in their freedom. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. On this side of heaven, there's no such thing as absolute freedom on this side of heaven, because God reserves that for his kingdom in heaven, when we can join the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together and have absolute, beautiful freedom. Again, freedom in its most basic form is choice. Freedom in its fullest form that we're ever going to see on this side of the grave is the result of making good biblical choices each and every day. Two stages for freedom: the freedom to choose. Number two, then to continue on in that freedom, you have to make the right choices daily. Tough. Not easy to do. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden, chapter 2. They already knew that they weren't supposed to eat from a certain tree, but temptation came in the form of Satan. They ate from it, and God says, "For in this day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Wow! If you were told you were going to eat from a tree, if you did, you'd die, would you? Most of us would go, "I want to live. I'm not going to eat from that tree." But Satan, in the form of a snake, tempted Adam and Eve, and they made that choice. Martin Luther talks about choice, talks about man having free will. He actually wrote that every man and every woman is making moral and ethical choices daily to be a responsible son or daughter of God. When we're doing that, being a responsible son or daughter of God, we're truly living in his freedom. And we're doing it in a responsible way in his name. Right now in this time and in this place, you have two choices: to obey God or to disobey God. And that's totally what's in your heart, what's in your mind, that is happening. None of us should come up to you and say, "Man, you're making big mistakes here. You're on the wrong path. Get out." We should never do that. We should embrace one another in love and guide one another in righteous biblical paths. Because no one wants to live in the bondage. We want to live in freedom. Bondage leads to death and destruction, but freedom leads to peace and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Remember, absolute freedom is on the other side of the grave, though. Absolute freedom. But back to freedom on this side of the grave. Freedom from who? Freedom from what? Freedom from when? Where? To be free indicates that nothing is holding you back. Nothing is holding you back. Most of us, when we think about it, are held back for a variety of reasons. All of them might be very good and valid, but we're held back. In our focus text, I talked about how Jesus was talking to the Jewish people of the day. The Jews asked Jesus, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am." And he said, "I'm going about my Father's business. The things I do, he taught me. The things I say, he taught me too. He's always with me. He's never left me alone." I'm paraphrasing. "I always do the things that please my Father." Jesus was laying it out for them how they should live and follow him. And we know that Jesus was no wimp. He was a strong teacher. He confronted people when they need to be confronted. And he did things as his Father desired him to do. And that created trust and love amongst the people, especially the children. We know biblically children always were coming to Jesus. They were drawn to him. And children in that wonderful innocence are drawn to people who just put out love and put out grace. Some of the good news I didn't read is in verse 30 from the chapter that I was reading from John 8. It said many people put their faith in him, put their faith in Jesus. If many people did, that means some didn't. Think about that. And Jesus wanted all people to put their faith in him, to follow him. But there were others that said, "We are free. We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone." And 2,000 years later, what does this mean? We're an American citizen. We live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. And yet we're still in bondage. We're still slaves. We're still controlled in a sense. But some of us have been set free in Christ, and that's beautiful. And we strive to live that out each and every day. The way of the world is not the way to be free, but the way to be free is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If anything is holding you back, I would ask you to talk to Jesus about it. If any sin is holding you back from a deeper relationship with Him, talk to Him about it. Confess to Him what's holding you back. Seek His forgiveness, because He is the great forgiver. He didn't go on to the tree on Calvary and die on a cross not to forgive us. He wants to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And please know that is what God is about, the desire to be free, to have us be free in Him. So there's really no secret to freedom. As long as you know Jesus, you are free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you, some translations, make you free or set you free. Please know that freedom is the courage to act with holy boldness, as many of you did 16 years ago. That was an act of freedom. You didn't want to be in bondage to the cultural influences of the day. You wanted to be in bondage to Jesus Christ and His word in truth. And we can be grateful for that. And always remember, and always hold on to this. Always keep it in your heart. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Before I offer a prayer, I invite the praise team to come forward and prepare to lead us in song. And I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. God, we thank You for the blessings You provide to us, not just this day, but each day. We thank You for those blessings, to be free in You, especially today as Harbor of Joy is celebrating 16 years, especially today as we celebrate Holy Communion with You in a moment. Allow us to continue to celebrate You, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Battle Hymn of the Republic is written by Julia Howard Ward in 1863 in the middle of the Civil War. It became a favorite marching song among troops, and we will march today.
The glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible smooth sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet, and that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men that for His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be joyful, let thy feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Here we go.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I invite the community to please stand as we share in our Christian statement of faith that's coming up on the screen, the Apostles' Creed. Please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're going to enter into the communion part of our service as we celebrate this sacrament together. We remember on the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, on that very night he took bread such as this, he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then after supper, Jesus took a cup, he gave thanks and he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is of the new covenant, shed in my blood for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it in remembrance of me. And now together we pray the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The community may be seated. Please know that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come to his supper, Holy Communion. Some of you may join us at the rail. Others will join us at the communion station down here. But all are welcome to join. God bless you during this time. There's gluten-free wafers available as well. For those assisting with communion, could you please come forward? And because I'm not doing this alone. Is anybody asked to do it? Can I have some volunteers, please? Appreciate that. We'll be ready in a moment. And the usher, somebody will guide you forward as well. Receive the post-communion blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ, bless you and keep you always. Amen. And I would ask the offering to be brought forward at this time. If you would bow your heads in a time of prayer for our offering as Becky brings it forward. God, thank you for the financial offering that is brought forward. Thank you to those who have sacrificed in tithes and offerings to bless not just this church, but your kingdom. Because this church reaches out far beyond these walls to people that do and don't know you. So we thank you, and we ask you to bless this offering this day so that it can do your will in your way. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, Becky. Now, if you could join me in a time of prayer as we pray for the people of God. God, we ask you to be with us as we go about this day, as we continue on this weekend of celebrating freedom, freedom most importantly in you. Lord, we ask you to lay your healing hand upon those that are still struggling. We ask you to heal Deb and Mark and Linnan. Be with them in their time of illness and recovery, Lord. And we ask you to guide the leadership here at Harbor of Joy as we focus on you and what is best for your church, for Harbor, in the present and the future. And Holy Spirit, we give thanks for the freedoms you provide to us and the blessings of those freedoms, especially for those of us here in these United States. We thank you that we are able to sing praises to you in freedom. We're able to worship you in freedom and do it with strength because of the Spirit gives us that strength. So God, may you continue to bless us. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Would you please stand as the praise team leads us in God Bless America?
This was written by Irving Berlin, and he says, I came here as an immigrant from Russia in 1893, and whatever success I have had as a songwriter, I owe to this country. These are words from a man whose God Bless America, one of the top patriotic songs of all time, has frequently been proposed as a new national anthem. It was introduced by Kate Smith in 1938 when Berlin was 80 years old. In 1968, he chose to perform God Bless America himself at his own birthday party on the Ed Sullivan Show. I've tried, he said later, to express my feelings in God Bless America, a song which is not alone a song, but an expression of my gratitude to the country that inspired it.
Before I share the benediction, I want to make sure to invite you to partake in the fellowship time afterwards, especially the young children. Many of you know I don't have children, but I love to get them rushed on sugar and then send them on their way. So feel welcome back there to do that with cupcakes and cake and such. Receive the benediction. God bless you and keep you. May the God of our forefathers watch over you. May the God that is with us this day walk beside you and bless you. And may the Holy Spirit nudge you along the path that he has chosen for you to his glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. and then our sending. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.